It's 22 minutes past 10. Colourful racing and celebrity identity. Ryan Phelan has joined me in the studio.
Colourful. Hey, listen, I heard that your ratings were going through the roof, and that's the reason I'm in studio today, just to slipstream your personality pretty much, Matt Stewart.
That's right. It's, you know, like I'm too modest to talk about it, but the figures are extraordinary.
They're just I'm sure you're texting the Fellgate every day, aren't you?
They're just in. I'm texting Moody, who's with him, so Moody can taunt him about it. So, no, actually, I'm sure it's gone through the floor, actually. But anyway, I'm sure they're going to rise in the next 38 minutes, however, because this Inter-Dominion Series, it was an amazing beginning at Ballarat on Saturday night. The thunder, lightning and rain as a backdrop as well. So
it was quite extraordinary, actually, Matty. For all of my years doing outside broadcasts with, you know, 9, 10, 7, Fox Sports and all of that sort of thing, I've never seen anything like this. We were on air, your good friend Adam Hamilton and I, we were in position.
He didn't get his hair wet, did he?
Well, I mean, even if it did, would it move?
No.
And I don't think it did.
It's like concrete, it actually gets harder.
But anyway, literally as we were going on air, the pitter-patter of raindrops on the marquee there, and within 5 minutes it was almost like a full-blown cyclone. Cameras were falling over. Our camera people were getting fences falling on top of them. It was just all over the place. So, look, it was quite a chaotic scene. We then had to deploy one of our team members to the stables to pretty much carry the broadcast for about an hour whilst we set up an entire, you know, separate OB position. So it was a lot going on. But in the end, the racing was terrific. And for all of that rain and wind, the crowd was still pretty good. A lot of people enjoying the Inter-Dominion, and the racing was fantastic. So it kicked off the ID22 series in a good way.
Absolutely. And I think the Kiwi Trotter was the star of the show, and he's probably going to be the star of the show at $1.14 tonight, isn't he?
Well, I think that was one of the big takeaways, Matty, from night one. There was a lot of questions going into the series with two key horses, one being the Kiwi Trotter, Bold for Brilliance, and the other being the New South Wales pacer, Expensive Ego, who lost last year's Inter-Dominion Series on protest. We know at his best, Expensive Ego, he's going to be a formidable force in this series. Even though he only placed in the opening round of heats, it was as good as a win, and I think he signalled his intentions as he's a real force. Bolt for Brilliance had some lung issues coming into this series, and there was a question mark whether
he got out to $3.
Crazy odds in the end, and people that saw him on track looked like he was ready to go, and he proved that on track. Look, yeah, he did get some map favours, but now that he's proven that he's at his, looks to be a level, he's clearly the horse to beat in the Trotter Series. So the fact that those two big names have performed well on night one just has really added an extra spark to this series, and I think it's really game on.
Is the focus now shifting to the competitiveness of the pacers, because Bolt for Brilliance looks like he's almost got it in the bag already?
I think he, at $2, is a really good bet in the Trotters.
He's still
at the moment.
$2.
He's still $2. I think if he wins tonight, which I think he will, that's the easiest of the Trotters heats. I think worst case scenario, even if he's not that impressive, he'll probably firm into, you know, $1.80. Then if he happens to draw, you know, 1-5 in the final, and obviously if he wins tonight, he will definitely get into the final. Then if he happens to draw 1-5, where he can press on, find the front over a longer distance, he could be a $1.20 chance in the Inter-Dominion. And that's not being disrespectful to Just Believe, who I think will win tonight as well. And he will be on the equal number of points, having won in the first round as well. But I just think away from those two, One Overall did things wrong as a favourite in the first round. Majestuoso doesn't look to be at its best. So they look to be the two key chances, and I would have Bold for Brilliance a much stronger chance than Just Believe. So I think right now, even money is a good bet for him in the final.
And I think it exposes the big difference between the quality of the best New Zealand trotters and the best we've got at the moment. There seems to be 10 metres between them, really, doesn't there? Hey, the transition from... What I found interesting was that they threw in a sprint lane at Ballarat. It was one of the last tracks standing without a sprint lane. So So they had a sprint lane at Ballarat. The transition from Ballarat to Shepparton, like the dimensions of the track and the way it may play out, even with the map and so on, is there going to be, is it chalk and cheese or cheese and cheese?
I think the sprint lane was actually a disadvantage with all of the rain on Saturday night. So horses, if you go back and look at your replays that were maybe looking to go on that inside line, I don't think that they were massively advantaged. So they don't normally have a sprint lane. Matty, you're quite right at Ballarat. Obviously, being a series and we want consistency through the series, that's why it was added at Ballarat. What's the difference to Shepparton? Okay, well, tonight we've got mile racing. So they go more of a helter-skelter pace than we saw over the 2,200 metres on Saturday night, where a lot of horses got cheap sectionals early and they were able to dash home. This will be hammered down from the get-go. Shepparton is a very fair track. There's a great camber on the Shepparton track. So even if you aren't up on speed, I think horses will get their chance to come wide if they run an even tempo to get into the placings. But in saying that, the way I've looked at a lot of these heats tonight, it is tempo related, it is map related, and a lot of the key fancies will race towards the top end.
We've got some interesting guests coming up this morning. The first one, Cam Hart, is actually already on the line. But just before we go to Cam Hart, crowd-wise, Ballarat last Saturday night, it's a bit of a epicentre for harness racing, Ballarat, and so is Shepparton. What sort of crowd did they get for the first round of heats, and what are you expecting tonight?
I would say the crowd at Ballarat was good, considering that when that storm ripped through, there might have been, because it was quite early, a lot of people might have said, gee, we were thinking about going, maybe we won't go, and that could have been a few hundred that mightn't have gone. The crowd was pretty good at Ballarat. I think tonight at Shepparton, it'll be terrific. Bear in mind, in that part of the world with the floods that happened mid-October, Shepparton was one of the worst hit, and a lot of the participants in harness racing, their properties were absolutely inundated by that rain and flooding occurred. The Shepparton Club itself was terrific in rallying around a lot of these trainers. And on our Trots Vision coverage tonight, we actually showcase a number of those trainers and breeders, just how affected they were with the rain. So I think this will be a real boon for the area. I think a lot of people will be really glad that they can get trackside, not just on the back of what's happened with the floods, but, you know, on the back of COVID as well. I think people are really excited to get back to the track and enjoy racing again. You know, we haven't had an Inter-Dominion series since 2018 in this state. So the fact that, you know, all of these things considered, I think we're expecting a good track tonight at Shepparton.
Absolutely. Our first guest is on the line, mate.
And that is Cameron Hart. As you mentioned, he drives, I think, the best bet, my best bet of the night tonight anyway, in I Cast No Shadow. That comes up in race 5, the Inter-Dominion pacing heat number 4 over the mile. And Cam, good morning to you. You must have been delighted when you saw barrier number 1 for I Cast No Shadow.
Yeah, morning, guys. Yeah, no, it was definitely a good surprise when I seen barrier 1. And you know, I think tonight the barrier draws are very important. Like you were just saying, it's only mile racing tonight, so we need to be up on speed, and that's going to be a big advantage for us.
And the thing is, Cam, he's a horse that hasn't had a lot of luck with barrier draws, particularly in these types of races, this level of free-for-all up. Barrier 1, there's speed outside. You, number 3, Mac Dan, comes out very, very well. Pete said so, number 6 can fly the gate as well. Expensive Ego comes out well also. Are you confident that you'll be able to hold up from barrier 1?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. You know, a lot of these wins at Menangle have just worked forward on him and been able to find the front, but there's definitely a lot of gate speed there when we need it. So we're going to need it tonight, but I'm pretty confident that he's got enough there to hold those sort of horses.
Just talk to his class. We did see him have a chance his arm in the big races during the Winter Carnival in Brisbane, and he's certainly been one of the better free-for-allers in New South Wales. His class in this sort of race, when you've got Mac Dan, who's a Newcastle Mile winner, and we know Expensive Ego at his best, is very hard to beat. In fact, he's now the favourite for the Inter-Dominion Series. His class in relation to those two types of horses?
Yeah, he's definitely right up there with him. You know, he's 2 starts ago, won the Wainsmith, going 48.8, so you can't really get better form than that. And he was a little unlucky probably not to win the Sunshine Sprint as well, so he could have easily had a couple of Group 1s to his name this season. And I definitely think, you know, was really happy with his first up heat running. You know, settled last, he was a long way off him, so I made a mid-race move and got beat a length by horses that didn't do a lot of work at the start. So that's definitely think he was the run of the race in that heat, and hopefully got through the run well and runs really good tonight.
So Mac Dan, we know it can fly the gate. It led in its heat, albeit it was run down on Saturday night. If Mark Pitt absolutely comes out guns a-blazing, will you be equal to the task and as aggressive, just looking to hold him out at all costs?
Yeah, I think I want to hold that advantage of the inside, and you know, my guy can run a really quick mile, so you know, it'd be nice to be able to hold up and roll along.
Let's talk about race 7, number 10, Majestic Cruiser. Obviously, Cam, he's been the horse that's provided so much joy for you, really, over the last 12 months with his exploits in New Zealand, and his runs over there have been excellent. Just how has he felt to you since that trip to New Zealand, and where is he as far as his fitness levels in this series?
Yeah, he really surprised me. I got to the track at Ballarat and had a look at him, and I couldn't believe the amount of weight he put back on after, you know, the flight home and all that. And Jay's hadn't done a lot with him, so he's coming in pretty fresh, and he felt really good. I was super happy. It was probably a bit of a snooze fest early in that race and a zip up the straight, but he finished, you know, not far from the winner. So really happy with his run, and he's just a horse that, you know, he's going to relish the 3 runs in a week. He's done it before, and we know he can back up. You know, he backed up well in New Zealand, and last year he got through the inner dom really well, so really expect him to come on tonight and then again on Saturday.
It's extraordinary to think a horse that I think is a realistic chance of winning the series in a heat tonight is $19. Are we underestimating him just purely because it is over the mile and he's going to be better over distance, and obviously there looks to be good speed up top with better Eclipse and Honolulu Bay? Just your thoughts on that race, and do you think he's being underestimated?
Yeah, he seems to be a horse that always is a little underestimated, but, you know, his go is probably the longer distance. But in saying that, you know, he's run fourth in a Miracle Mile, and, you know, he's not useless over the mile, that's for sure. It's probably just going to be tempo-related. Like, if they go hard, he'll be the winner, but they've got to go hard. So I guess it's that little bit of luck in running and the tempo that probably puts him at that price tonight. But hopefully if they do that, yeah, no, he's going to be hard to beat.
He's currently 650 Majestic Cruiser in the all-in market for the final. I Cast No Shadow, $14. The favourite is Expensive Ego, $5, long range at the moment. Better Eclipse, $650. Honolulu Bay, $650. Spirit of St. Louis, $650 as well. From what you've seen so far, and I know there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, under the mile, and then again at Geelong over the longer trip on Saturday night, to your eye, who are you seeing as the horse to beat in the Pacers series at the moment?
Well, I really like Honolulu Bay, and I probably would have said that even before he won his heat on Saturday. You know, he just seems to be a really quick horse, but he's strengthened up as well, and thought a few people are probably underestimating that horse going into the first round of heats, and he performed well. So, yeah, I think he's probably a top chance, and obviously you can't forget about Expensive Ego. He was super, and Spirit of St. Louis done it, you know, for a couple of seasons at the highest level, so they're probably the 3 top chances.
If they both get to the final, is it draw dependent who you drive, Majestic Cruiser or I Cast No Shadow, or will you stick with Majestic Cruiser, Hell or High Water?
Yeah, no, I'll be with Majestic Cruiser. You know, I don't think I could pick a better drive. If you get through the final, 2700, it's right up his alley. So I don't really care where he draws. He can, you know, do it either way. And we've seen on Saturday that he can make a mid-race move and put himself into the race. And, yeah, I'll definitely be sticking with him.
Before I let you go, Cam, I have to ask you, Saturday night in race 8, we saw Major Meister have its first start for Jason Grimson and was just absolutely breathtaking in winning over the 1710 in a time of 152.9, which would have been good enough, really, for any of those Inter-Dominion heats. You would think to be worthy of that. So with that in mind, what's the plans for this horse moving forward, and do you think he's the next one to get up into the top ranks alongside Majestic Cruiser and I Cast No Shadow?
Yeah, he definitely gave me a good feel, and Jace was quite confident beforehand just on his track work. He obviously had Majestic Cruiser and that, just having a little workout, and he had the same workout in the morning as them, and he was really happy the way he pulled up, and his heart rate was really good, and you know, he raced accordingly. But I think Jace might aim up some country cups down here early next year and see how he progresses through them. And we'll probably take him home after that, and definitely think he's got a lot of potential, that's for sure.
Good stuff, Cam. Terrific to talk to you, and good luck tonight, particularly with I Cast No Shadow, who I've got as my best bet tonight, and hopefully you can lead all the way, and good luck with Majestic Cruiser also. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, Matty, I'm very keen in that race. That's the first of the heats, race five, number one, I Cast No Shadow, and I'm really happy to hear Cam be so bullish about holding the lead. I think that's the key with this horse. The way I saw the map is that he would kick up and hold the lead, and I think MacDan will have a look, but it'll only be a short, sharp look, because he'll know on the outside Expensive Ego will be pressing forward to find a position outside the leader. So I think I Cast No Shadow will lead, Expensive Ego will sit outside the leader, and MacDan will be 1-1. I think that's your most likely trifecta. However, in saying that, number eight, the Black Prince, will get a nice soft running behind them as well. I think that might be a nice trifecta play, but I'm pretty keen on I Cast No Shadow. It's firmed up this week. I was able to, once they put the markets up, and as soon as the fields came out, both Adam Hamilton and I saw him as the one that was probably going to go up as a good bet, and he was, and punters have jumped into him now. He's firmed into a $3 favourite. I think tonight I wouldn't be surprised if he starts around about 270.
All right, so maybe snap up the $3 if it's still available for I Cast No Shadow. So that's your thought in race five, the fourth heat of the paces, as you say, over the flying mile. Moving on to race six, it's the fifth paces heat of the series. Emma Stewart's won two of the three paces heats on Saturday. Does that roll on for Emma Stewart at Shepparton?
It's a really interesting observation, Matty, because we've spoken so long about Emma Stewart, haven't we, being so bulletproof at juvenile level, 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds.
This is almost uncharted territory for Emma Stewart if she can dominate an Inter-Dominion series.
And for all of the records that we're talking about her breaking, the fact that she had four top three finishes on night one is an ominous sign for this series. She's got a lot of good chances. She may have, you know, half a dozen horses in the final, and she's a real chance of winning. This horse, Beyond Delight, in this particular race, on the clock, was probably the most eye-catching on Saturday night. I think punters have overreacted, well, bookmakers have overreacted a little bit. I personally don't think Beyond Delight is a $2 chance, but I've got Beyond Delight winning this race. I just think that Noratak Prince better be the bomb. They will both come out underneath Beyond Delight, who does have good early gate speed and may have to burn to find the lead. Once he does find the lead, I don't see any pressure in the race, and that might be enough to get Beyond Delight home. So, yeah, I've got Beyond Delight on top from number six, Spirit of St. Louis. I think it was a forgive run in the first round of the heats, had to get back, was wide on the track. It was a dash home. Ran okay in finishing six, but we still are watching Spirit of St. Louis closely because
he needs points, doesn't he?
Well, he certainly does, and he probably came into this series as one of the top three paces, so he's really got to get some crucial points tonight. I thought my third pick, Noratak Prince, just by virtue of getting a soft run, could be a place chance, but I think Triple Eight's there with a hope as well. Better be the bomb, but I think Better Delight, we can stand him out in race six, but in saying that, I would be thinking we might get about 220, 230 tonight. Right. I can see some you know, percentage in horses like Noratak Prince, Triple Eight in particular, maybe firming up slightly.
Well, Triple Eight's got Divine Intervention on his side, of course, through Father Glasheen.
Ryan Glasheen, yeah, I saw him on Saturday night. What a lovely man. He's the pacing priest. He's been around for a long, long time.
He christened my two. He was the parish priest in Bacchus Marsh. Good mate of my old man's. Dinner guest from time to time. And he and I have had a great friendship with some volatile moments over heated discussions about Gamelite versus Popular Arm, for instance. I was always a Popular Arm man and kept saying, Brian, scoreboard.
Yes. But he was an interesting debate, though, because Gamelite really won one of the greatest Inter-Dominions ever in beating Popular Arm, and I don't know whether you recall that actual.
So Adelaide?
No, it was, they were going the other way. It was in New Zealand.
Poppy didn't go the other way.
No. So Popular Arm led on that occasion, and Vinnie Knight didn't sit up. He just let him go, and right on his hammer was Gamelite, and Gamelite was able to run him down to the straight, which he rarely did. You're right, the scoreboard was in Popular Arm's favour, but
overwhelmingly.
What do we remember, though? We remember the Inter-Dominions, don't we? That's why this is such a great race.
That's true. Hey, just with Emma Stewart and targeting this series, because as you say, I mean, Breeders' Crowns and 2 and 3 year old races and just wipe the floor and not as dominant interstate and certainly not a major inter-Dominion factor. When she became aware, when she and Clayton became aware that this series was coming around to Victoria for the first time in, what, 4 years, how far out would they have said, right, let's nail this. This is it. This is us.
Well, they've got a pretty strong representation of horses that have gone, that were like a lot of these are 4 year olds, for example. So they've come through their 3 year old season being dominant. And what I've seen with Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin firsthand, I went out to their property a couple of months ago and just saw how they work their horses. I don't think you'd find fitter horses in Australia. They work them two heats. Their recovery system is terrific with their water walker. Years gone by, a lot of their young horses maybe went amiss, broke down, or just didn't get to that top level once they, you know, got to that open class free-for-all sort of level. We're seeing that gap being bridged now. They've got a lot of strong chances in the free-for-all. I think it shows that system is working. So I think they've got it right. They've tweaked it over a number of years, and that's why we're starting to see them have success in this series. And even though, you know, we're talking about, you know, Jason Grimson and Luke and Belinda McCarthy having strong chances from New South Wales, it really still is advantage Victoria, because you've got the premier trainer in Australia, Emma Stewart, and this Inter-Dominion series is in her backyard. You're right, Maddie. She would have targeted this with a number of these horses, and they're running accordingly.
As soon as they announced it was here after 4 years, I think they would have had that conversation. And this is how dedicated Emma Stewart is. Typical of Stewart's, basically, dedication. I went up to the old farm they had on the outskirts of Ballarat when they were building the new one, and she was 9 months pregnant. Mm. And she did about 20 laps on a horse around their sand track whilst 9 months pregnant. So there you go.
Oh, they work. They absolutely work their butts off. They're up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they're still going after 7 o'clock at night. A lot of the times they just don't have time to go to the races. That's why they've got such a big staff, because they just don't stop.
And they were going to dabble into thoroughbreds at one stage too. I'm not sure how that, I'm sure it's been put on hold with the Inter-Dominion.
That'd be a success at that too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 17 minutes to 11. We're going to take a break and then come back with our good mate David Moran.
On radio, digital radio, the app and streaming, RSN's Racing Pulse.
It's 10:45, time to move on with the next round of heats, and gee, I reckon David Moran would love to have Lochinvar Art flying. Oh. Say turn back the clock 18 months. Imagine Lochinvar Art flying around Shepparton, but he's got Honolulu Bay and Narutak Prince and Reckless Dream and Orby and Bide Our Time as well. So he's a big player even without the great Lochinvar Art. And actually, I'll introduce David Moran because I want to get an update on how he's going in the US. How are you, Dave?
Good, boys. How are you?
Good. What's the mail? How's he settled in over in the States, Lochinvar Art?
Yeah, I couldn't really tell you, mate, to be honest. You know, the last time I spoke to Kevin, everything was all good and he'd arrived there safely, but I haven't really heard... I haven't heard from Lauren or Shane, so I really couldn't give you too much insight to how he is.
Well, David, nonetheless, you've got some terrific drives in this Inter-Dominion series, haven't you? And I personally thought your drive on Honolulu Bay was probably the drive of the series so far on Saturday night. You summed it up perfectly with Honolulu Bay, who was drawn really horribly off the back row, and when they just slowed up in that early stage, you were able to get round into a good position outside the leader. But he just really monstered them, didn't he? He was very strong. You must have been really impressed the way he found the line over 2,200 metres.
Yeah, he did, mate. Yeah, he hasn't been known to be a horse that will really grind it out. He's quite a high-speed horse, but he's starting to strengthen up with the runs, and yeah, he's never been a horse that will put him away. You'll never see him in any kind of race, you know, really put 4 or 5 lengths on him. That's just not him. He'll just do what he has to do. But the way the race was run the other night, you know, there's a bit of speed early, and generally throughout, not just the Interdom heats, but through a lot of them heats, your Breeders' Crowns and your Sires and that, where horses have got to back up regularly, people will try and get their horse the best run. You know, then you got the inter heats, obviously, there's the second round of heats 3 or 4 days later, so they're going to try and get an easier run. So generally, if there's a little bit of a burn early, someone's going to want to back off and get a cheap quarter. So that was sort of why we elected to go around. It will be easier to be sitting outside and while they're going slow than be 3 wide.
Tonight, though, completely different setup, isn't it, over the 1690. You're drawn barrier three. On your inside is number two, Better Eclipse, one of the favourites for the series. But then on your outside, barrier number seven, you'd normally dismiss a horse over a mile from barrier number seven, but you've got Altor Orlando, who can absolutely fly the gate as well. How do you see the speed map? I personally thought that if you can hold Altor Orlando to the first turn, Better Eclipse might be happy to punch through and take a sit. How did you see the speed map?
Yeah, I thought it was probably the trickiest heat on the card. Altor Orlando obviously gets out very quick. The 1690-metre start at Shepparton, you know, a lot of tracks that will favour the outside, where Shepparton, it doesn't. It's pretty even. If anything, you may get a little advantage to the inside. So there's a fair bit of speed, like you said, with Altor Orlando out there, but also Bunduran very quick. Better Eclipse won't cross him off the gate. I don't think I can cross Better Eclipse off the gate. So it's just one of them races where you're just going to have to really, really be on your guard early and on what you do without overtaxing your horse. You know, if Bunduran holds Better Eclipse, well, Better Eclipse has then got to hold Altor Orlando, because Bunduran's most likely not going to want to hand up to Altor Orlando knowing that he's going to put it through fence. So it's a really tricky race. I think, like you said, we just, you know, we come out for 100 and just sort of see what happens and wait up from there. But there's probably two or three options that play on our mind at the moment.
Just on that scenario, David, when you're scoring up to the gate and it's about to release and you know that it's going to be an absolutely ferocious battle early, is there a little nuance to how best to charge at the gate? I've seen horses sort of sit back and then rush through. Is there any little trick that might get you that extra half a metre or something like that? How does it play out? It's such a volatile 5 or 6 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Obviously horses can begin quicker, you know, whether they're hard on the gate or whether they're half a metre off the gate, and you've got to time it. Honolulu Bay seems to probably get out a little bit better when he's on the gate and following it because he is so quick. And now, where a horse like Better Eclipse, you know, Greg would probably more time he's run. But, yeah, it's a tricky one. It's more so just comes down to really how hard you've got to go. You know, you don't really want to be absolutely busting your guts, because then it brings horses like Majestic Cruiser into the race.
How far do you go before you pull out? Say if the other one or one of the other ones desperately wants to keep going, do you say, in the back of your mind, you say, right, I'm going to go for 100 metres, and if I can't cross, that's when I ease.
And you've got a series to think about,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, how far do you press the button before you go for the parachute?
Yeah, no, probably not far tonight. Yeah, I don't think he's a horse that really needs to be opened up tonight. I think he can. I think it's a winnable race no matter where he lobs. But yeah, it's certainly not a race that I'd like to be going for, you know, 250 metres tonight and really busting into that first turn. I think we're going to know pretty quick within the first 100 to what's going to unfold.
Market doesn't have much between number two, Better Eclipse, at $1.95, and number three, Honolulu Bay, $2.15. Do you think that's right? Do you think Better Eclipse deserves favouritism?
Yeah, I think so. I guess he probably does from the draw. Like I said, I think he can hold me early, and I don't want to obviously go for too long. So I think the market's probably right. He's got that barrier advantage, but, you know, as we said before, if Luke lights Altor Orlando up, which I'd say he nearly will, you know, Bunduran's got to work hard, then I've got to find a position. Greg's got to stay in that one wide line to hold his position. So, it's just a really tricky race, to be honest. It's probably, like I said, the first 100 metres will tell the tale.
A word on race six, number three, Nor Attack Prince. A horse with gate speed, but then inside you, you've got Better Be the Bomb. We know Anthony Butt can be aggressive with that horse. 888 can show speed when it wants to. And then on your outside, Beyond Delight and Spirit of St. Louis. Probably looks another tricky map. Your thoughts on Nor Attack Prince?
Yeah, a little bit similar to Honolulu Bay. Probably don't want to put him too early. Obviously, Better Be the Bomb will get there pretty good. You know, he's just starting to rise to his class and adjust to that level. His run last week, I thought, was terrific. And I just thought if we could be handy enough for him again tonight, you know, Spirit of St. Louis, very quick out, and so is Torrid Saint. You know, I'd be unsure on what they're going to do from there also. So, I'd like to try and find a position nice and handy to him and And once again, he'll be running on late, and he'll be thereabouts, that's for sure.
And just on your other drives there tonight, race 1, number 6, Reckless Dream, race 2, number 7, Orby, and race 3, number 3, Bide Our Time. Do you give any of those a chance? There's certainly a couple of them favoured in the market, particularly Orby.
Yeah, well, Reckless Dream in the first, he's been going quite well, probably stepping up in grade a little bit. We've got Miss X and that have gone through the Burgess Crown, probably dropping back in grade a little bit. He's very consistent. Yeah, probably have to drive him with one run, but he's probably a place chance. Orby in race two, she's been going terrific. She's been running into some nice enough horses, and you know, and with a few tricky draws, she's just been a little bit unlucky. But once again, she's probably going to rely on that little bit of luck, but she'll be right there at the finish, and she'll be hard to beat.
Well, good luck tonight, David. A number of good chances, and hopefully you'll be accruing those points as you've done so well in the first round with those key chances tonight in the Pacers heats. Good luck, and thanks for joining us this morning.
No worries, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so, Matty, in race 7, I actually like Honolulu Bay to beat Better Eclipse. I'm just sort of putting my mind in the helmet of Greg Sugars and thinking, well, I'm drawn barrier 2. I'm not going to get caught wide. Do I need to push hard at the start? Whereas I feel that Honolulu Bay and Alta Orlando absolutely have to. Therefore, I think that even if one of those two leads, which is, I think, Honolulu Bay or Alta Orlando, I just feel like Honolulu Bay, the way he went the other night, is the one to beat. But I don't think there's much between them, as the market suggests. Honolulu Bay, slightly number 3 over number 2, Better Eclipse. And for third, number 1, Bundoran, I think, is a pretty good place bet.
Beautiful. We're going to have a quick chat to Chris Elford in a sec as well. Just before we do that, race 8, the fourth of the Trotters Heats. You mentioned Just Believe earlier, and would want to win really, really well to be still a factor against the great Kiwi.
Oh, look, I think he's the good thing of the night, Matty, to be honest, and at $1.18, you would hope so. But there's a really good play in this race. Just Believe will absolutely win, so you can anchor him in your quaddies and the like. But I think there's a really good standout first four and trifecta here. I think 3 will beat number 2, Hatchback. Number 1, Powder Keg, doesn't have good early gate speed. So I reckon we can stand out 3 to beat 2. Take your pick for third. Look, Majestuoso is 480. I think that's too short. Yes, can run a place chance, but I'm pretty keen on 3 to beat 2 and 8. And I think numbers 1 and also number 11 has a good place chance as well.
All right, terrific. The puppet's treating you like a scratching, by the way.
Why is that?
He's not answering.
Oh, well. He was. You know, he's so good, the puppet. When I got in touch with these guys yesterday.
The puppet is a.k.a. Chris Elford.
Chris Elford, yes. He was the first one to get back and say, yep, absolutely, no worries. So he's a good man. I won't hold it against him.
No, he's a great man. He's a great man. He's a Hall of Famer. Speaking of the Hall of Fame great man, Queen Alita is in the fifth of the Trotters Heats. What can Queen Alita and the puppet bring to the table tonight?
Well, this was going to be an interesting chat. It's a shame we couldn't get Chris, because this is a sticky draw for number 1, Queen Alita, in the sense that number 2, Vacation Hill, can absolutely fly the gate.
He's unscratched you.
He's on, is he?
He's there, the puppet. He heard us abuse him, and he picked up. How are you, puppet? How are you, mate?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Yeah, we were abusing you for not answering your phone.
Well, no.
Yeah, you answered
Matt
it.
Matt Stewart
and,
was abusing
and now we're apologising.
Nah, but you were 25 minutes late, so I was working a horse in the middle of fast work, and I couldn't grab my phone.
Yeah, cop that, Ryan.
Well, let's talk about Queen Alita, Chris, because Barrier 1, 9 times out of 10, looks good on paper. But number 2, Vacation Hill, comes out quickly. Number 3, Mufasa Metro, can fly as well. How do you see the speed, Matt?
Yeah, they get out okay, but, yeah, I'm pretty sure she can hold them if we feel like it.
So, if Vacation Hill, let's say, for instance, does blaze the gate, are you concerned that, you know, with obviously Queen Alida then being behind Vacation Hill on the pegs, that if Kate does find the front, that she will hold, that you won't be necessarily shuffled back 3 pegs?
No, I wouldn't really think that. You know, if you look at the way the draw is, Vacation Hill probably not going that well as what it used to. You nearly think that Kate would be just wanting to try and drop in on my back, because the horse on my back's not that good out of the gate. So you know, I can't see her really burning it off the gate, but I'm pretty sure Ida would hold it out if she did want to run it out.
So you're saying Queen Elida will be leading and winning race number 9 tonight, horse 1?
Yeah.
Oh, what odds? What odds is it, Ryan?
Very, very short, $1.55. But look, she's one of the best trotters going around. And Chris, your confidence after night 1 for the series with her, how did she come through the that heat the other night? Even though she was off the back row, she was certainly brave. You must have been happy with her.
Yeah, it was just a slow run race and a quick half. And, you know, she made up good ground in the last 400. And she went home and licked her bin out and was bucking around the paddock the next morning. So Lils was really happy with her and couldn't have had a better run, you know, in night run.
Good on you, Chris. We knew you would turn up. Maddie doubted you, but thanks for being so loyal to the cause.
But you know, I'm brave enough to back her at $1.55.
Yeah, that's good on.
Parlay into Bolt for Brilliance and take it up to about $1.75.
Yeah, and Bolt for Brilliance will just win as well. That's just put in and take out. I mean, I think it's a bit of a lottery in that race who really runs second and third. I just have no confidence around that. I've gone 9, 10, 4 and 8.
Are you still there, Puppet?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, just a quick word on Bolt for Brilliance. Is it just a tough nut to crack this series? Is there any wriggle room for Queen Elida?
It didn't really prove much the first night. It was a good win, but it sort of just rolled to the front, had an easy run and dashed a quarter, and you know, Just Believe and Queen Elida still ran their last half in about a second and a half quicker than what it did. It looked impressive, but you know, it'll need to lift again. So even series, and it's all going to come down to luck in running.
All right, well, them's almost fighting words. Good on you, Chris. Good luck tonight, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Chris Elford there. Righto, Ryan, in 30 seconds, let's sum it up. Obviously, well, that was interesting that he wasn't as succumbing to Bolt for Brilliance as many, that he's got the series in the bag.
He's a confident man. Yeah. He's 1-2 in a Dominion, so he should be. Yeah, my best tonight, Matty, race 5, number 1, I Cast No Shadow. $3 is available at the moment. I reckon take that. My value tonight, I think, is a trifecta play. In race 8, I like number 3, Just Believe, to win. Number 2, Hatchback, to run second, and for third you can put in numbers 1, 4, 7, and 11 for one unit. That's $4, and I reckon worst case that trifecta will pay $8. So it's a nice way to play. And if you're looking at it all up, I think race 8 number 3 Just Believe, race 9 number 1 Queen Elida, and race 10 number 10 Bolt for Brilliance. I think all of those trotters heats will win. You're getting around about $2.30 for that all up, Matty. So looking forward to the Trots Vision coverage tonight, which you'll see on the trots.com.au. Andrew Bensley came in here before and he said, pump up the RSN coverage.
He said, or else.
Or else. Yeah. He said, Ryan Feeling, you'll never be coming on this radio station again if you don't pump up RSN.
He said he'd see you in the car park. good on you, Ryan, and look forward to an in-depth review tomorrow on RSN.
I've been roped into that as well.
You have indeed.
Gee, I might have to get on the payroll here soon.
we don't have one. It's 11:01. Good on you, mate, and good luck tonight. Have a great night tonight.